like a copy of God's Word as it's found in the Bible. An extract taken from the Bible, God's Word, Luke, Mark's Gospel, New Testament in its entirety, should you require one. The Word of God, of course, is a necessity for the body to find a way back to God, that is, to a right relationship with God. That the Bible can't know, can't understand these things, given to us, of course, to educate, to inform, instruct us, you know, what it is God is like and what it is that He requires of us. Of course, you can look at all the things that God's made. That in itself leaves a person without any excuse, God says. That is, for knowing that, not knowing that God is. It's there, plain as the nose on your face, that God is. But of course, in order to come to a right knowledge and relationship with God, well, then the Bible is essential for that. That's the only place where you find the necessary instruction. Won't find it, for instance, in the Quran. You won't find it in the Watchtower Society's stuff. And you won't find it in the encyclicals of the Pope. You won't find it anywhere else, only in the Bible, the Word of God. And of course, God has spoken clearly. He tells us that His counsel shall stand. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of God shall stand forever. So the Word of God is essential and offered to you, as I say, without cost and without obligation to you. You would like one, then do feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly place one into your hand should you ask, should you require one. So the Word of God, as we find it today in the Bible, of course, speaks about the gospel of God's salvation. And of course, when we talk about, or rather when God speaks about salvation, well, you might ask the question, what is it that I need to be saved from? You know, maybe perhaps you feel quite safe and secure, as many of course do. They see no problem with themselves, and of course they see themselves in being no danger. So what is it you say that I need to be saved from? Well, you need to be saved. The Bible tells us, from the sin and, you know, the guilt, you know, that attached to your sin. You might say, well, I don't feel guilty, you know, but, well, I guess there's many criminals, you know, who have been in the magistrate's court across the way there today, you know, and they've been found guilty and sentenced. But they're telling the judge, they're telling the magistrate, but, you know, they don't feel guilty. You don't have to feel something in order to be it. The fact of the matter is that we've all sinned and come short of God's glory. None of us that, not a man, says God in His Word, that does not sin, has not sinned. And of course, it's from that your greatest known danger, the danger that lurks within you, your sinful heart, said that you need to be saved from. Of course, that's what the Bible's about, God's salvation, the gospel of God's salvation from beginning to end. It's not about religion so much. It's not about man's devices, you know, like the Watchtower Society and, you know, many cults and sects as you have the world over today, you know. man-made religion is the only way, of course, that you can describe it. But of course, God has made it clear in His Word that a man cannot work his way back to God, not by anything that you do, but by what God has revealed and by what God has accomplished in sending His Son. God has accomplished what the law could never do, the law of Moses. Of course, you can go to Moses, you go to the law of God, but He'll burn your house down, you know. He'll curse you to the damnation of hell. Moses can't save you. It's Christ that you need to go to. God's sent Son into the world to die on a cross to accomplish the salvation that we could not and cannot ever accomplish ourselves. Rightness with God only comes by the grace of God. And it's that, of course, of the Bible. The Bible speaks of a person, Jesus, the Son of God, and how, of course, He wrought this great, so great salvation. But, of course, the Bible poses a question for you without answering the question because the answer is logical. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? God has present you with this great, this fantastic, this amazing salvation. And of course, you just simply neglect it. You say it's of no consequence to me. Well, then how can you possibly escape the consequences of your sin, the wrath to come? And of course, the wrath of God that is already being revealed against you, against all men, because of their unrighteousness, suppressing the truth of God, holding the truth in unrighteousness, in wickedness, that is. So salvation, friends, salvation's what we're about, salvation's what we're talking about, and salvation's what the Bible speaks of. How that a body such as you can be saved from your sin, and of course from its consequences, its ultimate consequences. The inexpressible, you know, the unspeakable mercy of God in giving us such a Savior. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish in their sin, that is, but have, through faith in the Son of God, have everlasting life. The unspeakable mercy of God, you know, to undeserving sinners such as you and I. God, of course, had no need to do anything, just leave you, you know, to wallow in the mire and muck of your sin, leave you to the outworking of His consequences. But of course, you know, God is sufficient in Himself. He has no need of you, no need of me. That which He has done, creating a universe, a world, a human race, He has done for His own pleasure. But of course, the Bible makes it clear that God, for His own pleasure, has decreed salvation for a world of ruined sinners. For men and women such as you and I, who have rejected God, who have broken the laws of God, who have rejected the gospel of God, the salvation of God. And here God, in His unspeakable mercy, sent His Son Jesus Christ into the world, that through Him, that you might be saved. By believing, trusting in what someone else has done, in their goodness, not yours, your perceived goodness, in the righteousness that God has revealed from heaven in the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ. Salvation, friends, for all lost, ruined, helpless, hopeless sinners who put their trust in Jesus. You see, that's the state of humankind. We're all of us, to a man, to a woman, ruined by sin, and why you need redemption. All of us lost. We all like sheep have gone astray. Wandered to our own pathway, says God. Helpless, impotent against the ravages of sin in your life. Some of you, of course, already ruined in body as a result of your sinful practices. Some of you ruined in mind by your sinful lifestyles. And of course, soon to be ruined and lost forever in eternity. That is, if you do not become a participator in God's salvation that He has so mercifully, kindly, amazingly, astonishingly, unspeakably provided for lost, ruined sinners such as yourself and myself. Is it not true? You cannot overcome even one of your, habits, that you engage in, addictions they become, and of course you try, you labor, you work at it, you go at a great cost to try and get free of such addictions. But of course, to no avail, because you do not have the strength, you do not have the power. And, can you overcome? Do you have the power? Do you have the strength to overcome that sinful nature in which you are born? No, friends, we cannot overcome. We cannot get the beating of one single sin without the power of God, without His salvation. Impotent, you see, but God, He sees humankind, you see, He sees the human race in its impotence, in its powerlessness, and in His mercy. At just the right time, He sent His Son Jesus. He sent Him, Christ that is, to die for the ungodly. Men and women lost in sin and contrary to God every which way. And without hope, you see, without hope is how God describes the lost. It's how God describes those without Christ Jesus today. Lost, not just lost, but hopeless, without hope. You are, sir? Come and talk to me. Come and talk to me. Should be saved. Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us, came into the world to save, to rescue sinners. Not to make men religious, respectable, or otherwise, but to save them, to rescue them from that hopelessness, from that impotence, that powerlessness, to save them, to rescue them from their sinful disease, state, and condition. And salvation is presented. We can present this salvation to you today because God has revealed it. His gospel, His glorious gospel that has appeared unto men. All men, the Bible says. Of course, not that all men head for head will be saved. Bible does not teach that, but those who believe, those who repent of their sin, those who turn from it, from their wicked ways, practices, and turn to God's Son, Jesus Christ, in faith, they and they alone, only believers in Jesus, that is, that will be saved. But we're able to present this gospel to you here this afternoon once again. Why? Because of God's great provision. God has provided us with a Savior, provided us with a way back to Himself, provided us with the power to overcome sin, provided us with this so great salvation. But you dare not neglect it, because if you do, you dare not reject it, because if you do, lost now, undone now, powerless now, hopeless now, but then for eternity, lost, ruined, with no way back to God, only while you have the breath of life in you, only while you walk the face of this earth, breathe God's air, Only then, in this short space of time that's given to you, some of you longer than others, some of you shorter than others, but a short, brief space of time in this world that God has given to you. It's like a kindergarten, you know? Place where God has placed you to learn about God and to prepare yourself for the eternity to come. So you see, friends, now is the time. Now is the time. You must not waste it. You must not waste your life. You must not waste the privileges that God has given to you. And of course, well, the offer, you know, the salvation presented to you. Let it not be declared amongst you in vain. Let it not be to your detriment. Because hearing the gospel, having heard it and rejected it or neglected it, well, you're the worse for it. Better you never heard the gospel than you reject it. So friends, today, turn from your sin, repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe the gospel and you shall be saved. Saved from what, you say? Saved from the love of sin. Here's the problem, you see. We're born, we're conceived in sin. Not just what you do, it's more than that. Oh, what you do is bad enough. What you say and what you think is bad enough. But it's your very nature. It's the inclination that you have towards sin. Even that God will judge you for, that you have the inclination to sin, that you have the inclination in your heart towards, the desire towards that which is contrary to and displeasing to God. Even for that, the wrath of God is upon you. Born, you see, conceived in sin, a sinful nature, and so you quite naturally do that which is contrary to God. Comes quite natural to you. It's your natural born state, you see. It would take a miracle to change that. You can't change it. Religion can't change it. Politics can't do it. I mean, they've been trying. We've been politicians since day one. They making the world any better? They making it any safer? Are they making the human beings better people? I think the opposite would be true. Then you've got the philosophies of men like evolution. I mean, if evolution is true, why are you not getting better? I mean, if you used to be monkeys and apes and now you're human beings, why are you not still evolving? Why is it that the human race seems to be going the opposite way, degenerating? Seems to me if you continue, if you harp on teaching people that they came from animals, it's not long before they're going to be behaving like animals. But isn't that what you see before you in your world today? Isn't that what you see in your society today? Huh? A world, a human race that's degenerating, it's not evolving, it's regressing, it's going the opposite way, and the only answer is regeneration. It's for you to be born again. You must be born again, Jesus says. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Cannot enter the kingdom of God. No way back to God without God performs this miracle, the supernatural working of God in the heart and the souls of men and women through the proclamation of the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. But that regeneration is a possibility. God's made it possible in sending His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. To die on a cross, rise again from the dead, in order that by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you might be born again to a living hope. Instead of being hopeless in your sin, being full of hope. Hope in the world to come, hope in the glory to come. Instead of the despair, instead of the lostness, instead of the impotence, saved from the love of sin. It's because you got a sinful nature, that's why you love sin. That's why the pig loves the muck. That's his nature, you know. Comes quite natural to it. A man just in the same way. His natural habitat is sin. And he wallows in the mire of sin. Loves the sin. You see, friends, some of God's laws that you should love God and love your neighbor, but you do neither. You hate God and hate your neighbor. That's why men go about slaughtering, killing one another. Because they hate their maker and they hate their neighbor just the same. The very opposite, the contrary to what God demands of you. A natural born God hater or a supernaturally reborn God lover. You need to be saved from your love of sin. We love the stuff, that's the problem. We love what's contrary to God, that's the issue. That's why men do what they do. That's why women do what they do. That's why you got the pervasive uncleanness. That's why you got the disease. That's why you got the brokenness. That's why you got the lostness, the hopeless, the impotence. That's why you got all that stuff in your world, in the human race today. Because you love the sin, you love the darkness, and you will not come to the light. God has sent the light into the world, the light of the world, even Jesus. And what did you do? You nailed him to a cross. You crucified him. You killed the Lord of glory. And every time you hear his gospel, every time you hear his name, every time he's declared amongst you, and you reject him, and you turn from him, you crucify him all over again. Ah, friends, the gospel, the glorious gospel of God's salvation that would save you from the love of sin, that would change your nature, that would change your heart and give you a love of God, a love for your neighbor, a love for what's good and wholesome, a love for what's pleasing to God. Only God can change the heart. Only God can change the nature of a man. Only God can do that. The power of God unto salvation is what you need. Again, religion can't do it. Again, philosophy can't do it. Again, politicians can't do it. Only God can do it. God in Jesus Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Christ, by the blood of His cross, made peace, reconciliation with God. But it has to be received by you willingly, deliberately, consciously received by you in faith, believing, trusting in God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way back to God and the only way of salvation. You can be all so religious and very sincere about it, but that don't make you right with God. That don't reconcile you to God. Only what Christ has done, only what Jesus has accomplished, His dying, His rising, and your trusting in His work, His person, that which He has done. Repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that's the only way by which you can enter into God's kingdom. The kingdom of His love and grace, mercy and goodness and wholesomeness. Save salvation from the love of sin that eats at the very vitals of your soul. Save the course from the power of sin. Power of sin that holds you in its vice-like grip and won't let you go. Like I say, you say, well, I'll be a good person. Maybe you promise your loved ones, you know, I'll give up the booze, I won't do the drinking again. I'll give up the drugs, I won't do the drugs no more. I'll give up the uncleanness, I won't do it no more. I'll be faithful to my wife, I won't cheat no more. I won't cheat my husband no more. And you make promises and promises, you're going to be good. And the more you try to be good, the worse it becomes. Because you haven't got the power. You got politicians who want to change the world, and doubtless some of them are sincere, but they haven't got the power to do it. No man has. No man has. No power, that's the problem. Impotent. No power. No power in your world religions. No power in Muhammad. No power. No power in the popes of Rome. No power in the ramblings of Buddha. The confusion of Confucius. There's no power there. Power belongs to the Lord. Power belongs to God. Power belongs to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord. And the Bible declares Him to be so. Why not the Pope? Why not Muhammad? Why not Buddha? Why does it say, doesn't even mention their names? They're not even written in the Bible. Jesus Christ is Lord. Check it out. Philippians 2 verse 11. Why is Jesus Christ Lord? Because He, by His mighty power, conquered sin and death and hell, and is alive forevermore. It's not a dead prophet you need. It's not a dead religion you need. It's a living Savior with power to break the power of sin in your life, to cancel it and set you free. The Son shall set you free. You shall be free indeed. But until then, you're in bondage, you're in chains, you're born in slavery, live in slavery, and you'll die in slavery. Oh no, you say, slavery was brought to an end hundreds of years ago by William Wilberforce. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Trans slavery, you're born into it. You're slaves to sin, to a man, to a woman. It's your master. Sin snaps his fingers. Sin cracks his whip, and you have to obey it. You have to obey its every command. Sin bids you to do its doing, and you do it every single time. Slaves to your master is sin. You are born into that slavery, and you'll live in that slavery, and you'll die in that slavery, unless Jesus Christ sets you free from the power of sin. Set you free from that bondage. Set you free from the rule, the power, and the dominion of sin. Ah, dear friends, salvation. Salvation, that's what you need. Saved from the love of sin and saved from the power of sin that holds you in His grip. Jesus set you free and saved, of course, from the consequences of your sin. I mean, it's bad enough. The Bible speaks about sin having its own recompense in this world. Some of you pay an awful price for your sin. The drunkard, he pays an awful price. Ruined in body, his liver, you know, a shortened life, the immoral, you know, with their STDs, as you call them, and other filthy, disgusting diseases that you spread amongst yourselves today. Ah, dear friends, the cost of your sin, what you pay for your sin, the consequences, the recompense of your sin. Broken in body, broken in mind, some of you. Friends, it's bad enough. The price that you pay for your sin now in this world. And the Bible tells me that the wrath of God is revealed, that is being revealed now against all the ungodliness. You say, where is it revealed? Where do I see it? Well, look around you. Listen to what's coming out of the mouths of men and women around you. Look at the behavior of men and women in your world. That's the wrath of God. That's when God's given you over to a reprobate mind to do these things that you ought not to do. And you know that you ought not to do them. Friends, don't you judge other people? Don't you make judgment calls regarding other people? You need some horrific crime and you see that person who did that, that person ought to be locked up, ought to be hanged. And probably you're right, you know? Probably you're right. But ask yourself this question, where did you get that sense of judgment from? I'll tell you where you got it from. You got it from the God who made you, who's the judge of all the earth, and who made you like Himself. Friends, God will bring you to justice also. God will judge you. You judge all other people, and you judge them, you condemn them for the same things that are lying in your own heart. The same uncleanness. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. You judge other people, you condemn other people for the same things that are lying in your own heart. If you are truly, if you are honest. But that's now. That's in this world. But there's the judgment to come. There's the day appointed when Jesus, the Son of God, has been appointed to judge the world in righteousness. And friends, you're going to stand before the one who today would be your Savior, who would take away your sin, who would take away your guilt, who would take away your shame, who would reconcile you to God. The one who loved sinners and gave Himself for them. One day you will be judged by Him. And friends, that will be a perfectly righteous judgment. There will be no excuses. There will be no blame shifting. It wasn't me. It was somebody else. It wasn't my fault. It was the circumstances. Excuses, excuses, excuses. That's all. You're full of excuses. But on that day I tell you, every mouth will be stopped. Every mouth will be shut. There'll be no arguments. There'll be no smart remarks. There'll be no atheism. Yeah? You'll not stand before God, you know, with a surprised look on your face. Oh God, I didn't know you existed. I thought evolution was true. No, it won't be like that at all. Because you'll stand before the God that you always knew existed. Always knew existed. When a child is born, before it knows anything, it knows that God is. Because you have the innate knowledge of God within you, stamped upon your beings, stamped upon your souls, is inescapable. And all your clever philosophies of men, Darwin's stupid evolution, and all the rest of them, friends, are just excuses, just blame shifting. But in that day when you stand before Jesus Christ, friends, you will be judged righteously. And it will be shown to you in that day that you knew that God was. You knew that your unbelief was inexcusable. Because of all the things that God has made, you have no excuse, none whatsoever. God says, He has manifested in you, shown it unto you. He says that you even clearly understand that God is. But you do not want God to be. Why? Because you love your sin, that's why. You hate God and love your sin. And you love your sin too much. You love your sin so much that you're willing even to damn your own soul in eternity forever. How stupid, how sensible, how intelligent is that? I ask you. Intelligent? Friends, sin makes men and women mad. It deranges their minds. Friends, God, when men and women, when they deny God, when they give them over to that foolish notion and philosophy that there is no God, God gives them over. He says to a debased mind, and to do those things that they ought not to do. That's where the mess comes from. That's where the shambles that you see in your world today, in the midst of humanity, that's where it comes from. All comes out of the one fountain, sin, in the hearts of men and women. And we have all of us, yourself and myself included, we have all of us contributed to it. And there's only one way out. There's only one escape route. And it's God's salvation. God sending His Son into the world to die on the cross so that you might be forgiven. This is the gospel. This is the heart, the essence of the gospel. It's good news. There's forgiveness with God. There's a way back to God. There's a way out of the mess. There's an answer to it. But it doesn't lie with man. It doesn't lie with men. It doesn't lie with the thoughts, the ideas, the plans of men. It lies with God. In Jesus Christ, His Son, sent into the world to save men and women, to rescue them. Salvation is what the Bible's about. Religion doesn't do it. Religion's just another form of your evolution. It's just another excuse. It's just another hiding place. From the truth, it's only the truth that will make you free. The truth as it is in Jesus, the truth as it is found in God's Word, God's indictment is that all men are liars. So therefore, outside of the Bible, there is no truth, none whatsoever. God is true. God cannot lie, does not lie. And he speaks to you in his word of a salvation. He presents it to you. His son. His son is his only begotten. Full of grace and truth he came. The loveliest man that ever walked the face of this earth. And what did you do to him? You nailed him to a cross. And were he to return the same way now, you do the same all over again. You crucify him again. And that's exactly what you do every time you hear the gospel and you reject or neglect it. You crucify the Lord of glory all over again. I call upon you today, friends, while you have the breath of life in you, while you have the faculty of reason, come now, saith the Lord. Let us reason together. God made you. You're not like a dog, you're not like an ape, you're not like a monkey. You have moral and rational faculties that other creatures do not have. And God requires that you should use that rationality with an open Bible and listen to the voice of His Son from heaven, who speaks salvation to you, who speaks of the way back to God, reconciliation, pardon, forgiveness, everlasting love, grace, grace, grace. God has revealed His amazing grace in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that salvation could be yours today. In the way that God has prescribed, the words of Jesus Himself, repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Why is it at hand? Because the King Himself has come. The King of glory has died and arose again from the dead, that this salvation might be yours, that you might be clear before God, reconciled to God for time and for eternity. A heavenly home instead of a hellish hovel. When you die, when you breathe your last and go out of this world, it is appointed for men once to die, after this, the judgment. Friends, you can live with the idea, the philosophy of unbelief. When you're dead, you're dead. Nobody knows what happens to us afterwards. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Jesus Christ came back from the dead and He tells us clearly what happens afterwards. After that, the judgment. Friends, run from it. Escape the wrath to come. Flee into the arms of Jesus, the loving Savior, who would wash you and make you clean, who would forgive you, who would take your sin away before your sin takes you away to some place, believe me, you do not wish to go. Friends, Jesus, the Son of God, commands you this afternoon, repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus that is, shall be saved. You would like to have a copy of God's word and check these things out for yourself. See that they are so. It is offered to you free of charge, without cost or obligation to you. Yours simply for the taking, just as is the Savior. To as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. Those, that is, who believed in His name. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word? You come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious, Righteous souls.
May I ask you a question?
Of course you can. That's what I'm here for.
You're saying that if I sin, I should not go to heaven.
Yep. Well, I would say not if you sin, I would say because you have sinned.
Well, would you class adultery as sin?
Yep.
Well, wouldn't you say then that God himself should be in hell for adultery?
Why?
Well, for starters, you got another man's wife pregnant. That is sin.
I don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about? Where'd you get that from? Where'd you get that from?
It was pure logic from the Bible, thank you very much.
Oh, was it?
Yes, Mary was married to Joseph. God then impregnated Mary with the Son of God. Wouldn't you that say that was adultery?
No. 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 Definitely not.
Alright, then here's another one for you. Jesus resurrected Lazarus, did he not?
Let me be polite. Nonsense. Utter absolute nonsense. Yeah, go on, your next question.
Jesus resurrected Lazarus, did he not?
He did, yeah.
Well,
wouldn't you